Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
And now.
Have you ever wished the radio guy would think like you and say things that actually make sense rather than softening his stance to be politically correct? Well then, Whitely so. Gil Whitely will give you the absolute truth.
I'll state my case. Hello and welcome, Gil Whitely with you until noon. Joining me, a guy that did a double stint here with your Denver Broncos, and not without success on either occasion, Wade Phillips, who joins us, who actually coached for Dan Reeves and then followed Reeves as the head coach of the Broncos. And we're here to kind of celebrate the life and times of our good friend Jim Fassel. Wade, how are you doing? We are with Mark Cooper and myself.
Yeah, hey. Hello, Mark.
Hey, Wade.
It's certainly sad to hear. Jim Fassel obviously was a great friend. You know, one thing about it, when I got the head coaching job there, I really didn't have an offensive coordinator that I
That's exactly what I was going to ask you. How did you come up with Fassel?
Yeah, Dennis Green and Mike Holmgren both called me and said, hey, Jim Fassel is a great coach and you need to interview him, you know. I said, wow. And they both were in the playoffs and doing obviously great coaches. And of course, they were the West Coast system, you know. And so I brought Jim in, talked to him, and yeah, I mean, I thought right then. And it really did. I mean, Elway obviously had a great career, but those 2 years that Jim was there, John really improved his stats overall and got into the West Coast system. Obviously, Mike Shanahan came in and with the same type system. Of course, Mike did a great job with John also. Obviously, but put him in that system, and I thought it was John thrived in that system.
Okay, Mark, go ahead and handle this. I have to take this call, Mark.
Wait, I was just Gil and I were having a conversation prior, but this morning about Jim Fassel.
Did you get it?
Did you have a conversation with John on the side, or you know that you were interviewing him, or that you were contemplating him? And did John have any input in that? Because I mean, he obviously played for him in college.
Yeah, it wasn't a factor, but it was
right.
It was something that I knew John knew him, and it obviously played great in college too. So. Yeah, that was part of it. But really, I just interviewed him, and I was impressed with him. And again, I was really impressed with two of the coaches that were in the playoffs and teams and had really great offenses. Both called and said, hey, you know, this is the guy. Besides other people, there were other people, too, that called. So I was really impressed with the people that he knew that Green was a really great coach. And then, of course, he went on with the Giants and went to the Super Bowl with them and I did a lot of great things coaching.
Yeah, what a great career. And, it's interesting. I guess you get to see, you know, a lot of faces and a lot of guys. And, you know, at our age, I'm the youngest of us all, obviously, right at 61. But, you know, Gil was saying, you know, God's picking them off one at a time. And all throughout the year, you know, you hear of this guy passing or that guy passing or this guy passing, you know, you start going, you know, looking over your shoulder a little bit, right? Going,
yeah, that's right. Wow.
I guess I am getting up there, right?
Yeah. The high school reunion class gets a shorter list every year. So, yeah.
Right.
It's a shame, but But a lot of great memories, yeah, and he did a lot of great things.
What did you
want to celebrate?
Yeah.
And condolences.
Andrew?
John Fossil was.
Excuse me for a second, Andrew. You need to answer the phone. I think John Elway's trying to call in.
Okay, well.
Yeah. I have him on right now.
You
have who?
Right now it's Gil and Mark.
You have John?
Mark Cooper.
John, are you there?
I think he's putting him on.
He should be hot now.
John, you there?
John Elway,
hey guys, we'll turn you over to John.
You're on with Gil Whiteley and Wade Phillips and Mark Cooper.
Hey, Gil.
Your old buddy Mark Cooper's on with me as well.
Hey, John. How's it going, man?
What's happening?
Same stuff, brother. You know, head down, tail up, right?
There you go.
Yep. I talked to Bish not too long ago. He's doing good, and I'm looking forward to catching up with him before he goes back to camp. You know, you guys get back on the field.
Yeah. He went on like a 7,000-mile motorcycle trip.
Yeah. Yeah, crazy.
Hey, it's a tough day this morning. Woody sent me a text saying, and that's the first I had heard of it. And frankly, Jim Fossil has been coming on this show every week for about a decade. We've had so many great conversations about you. When he came here, you had your best year offensively. Tell us about Jim Fossil in your life.
Well, he was a big part of my life. He was, he recruited me to Stanford, and he was my coach at Stanford for 4 years. I think he was the offensive coordinator there the last 2 years. And, you know, he's like a second father to me. He's one of the main reasons why I went to Stanford, because of the relationship that I developed with him and as a guy and a person, but also for his football knowledge and also the knowledge of the quarterback position and the techniques and everything, that the drills that he took me through. So, you know, I can't say enough of what he did for me as far as my football career. And then also, you know, I was fortunate to have a personal relationship with him, and the fact that he was a friend forever, and so disappointed to hear the news today.
Yeah, it's tough. He had a really tough bout. With COVID about a couple, 2.5 months ago, and it affected him. He was in the hospital. He and I would talk fairly frequently about it, and he was never quite the same as he came out of it. Although he died of a heart attack, I'm sure COVID was a factor in it, and it's been a factor in all of our lives.
Yeah, I mean, that's unfortunate. Like I said, I haven't had a chance to talk to his family yet, so I don't know those details. And so that, obviously, hopefully that, it's unfortunate what everybody's gone through the last year, and it's unfortunate that this, disease affected him the way that it did. And, so just hearts and prayer go out to his family. He had a great family. Two of his kids were in my wedding, and so that's the type of relationship we had with him. So he will be dearly missed.
When I get off the line, I will text you John, his son, John Fossil's numbers.
That'd be great. I had his daughter's number, and I tried to call this morning and got voicemail. But, that'd be great if you could do that. I'd like to reach out to him.
Hey, John, when Jim Fossil came here under Wade and then you guys kind of reunited, was it more of a coached player, or was it more of a, friend-friend, player relationship? You know how you have different relationships with coaches versus guys you've had a history with and that kind of thing. How was your interaction with Jim because obviously it elevated your game?
It really did, because I believed in Jim. I believed what he did offensively, but he was also, a guy that I trusted as a coach. Mark, that when you have a coach that you really trust it makes your play that much better. And so I had both that. I was excited that he was coming here, because it was an offense that I was familiar with, that I ran in college and really liked. And so, plus, the knowledge that he had of the offensive game. But also, I think even more importantly, was the relationship. And he was a guy that, would kick me in the tail when I wasn't doing things right, and, pat me on the back when things were good. But also a guy that, when things were tough, would also you know, pat me on the back and get me going again. So I think it was both. I think that, you know, the offense that he brought, his offensive mind, but also the personal relationship I had with him and the trust that I had with him as a coach. And, you know, it really kind of gave me second life when he came here and allowed us to go out and play well offensively. You know, obviously we'd like to have won more football games, but, you know, I think that the relationship I had with him gave me, you know, life again, and it kind of reinvigorated me for the second half of my career.
Well, the year before he got here, although you were hurt and only played in 12 games, you threw for 2,242 yards. The first year he got here, you threw for over 4,000 yards for the first time in your career. Boy, that light came on in you, and you had your best yards all those early years. You won with your physical abilities in a somewhat dated Dan Reeves offense. Now all of a sudden he comes in, brings you an offense that you ran at Stanford, but it even a more upgrade of that, and then followed up by Mike Shanahan and all your successful years. It all started with Jim Fossil bringing you back under Wade Phillips.
Yeah, you know, it really did. And I think that, you know, the basis of what he did offensively was something I was very, very comfortable with. And really when Mike came in, you know, and Jim had taken, you know, the West Coast and expanded it because of the experience in places that he'd been before he was here. And so he'd expanded that. And you know, so it was something that I was very comfortable with, and something that, you know, I trusted in him. He was really the guy that, you know, was the basis of my career, because in college, you know, he had such a great feel for the techniques of the quarterback position as far as drops and feet and getting feet in the right positions and throwing motion. And so he had such tremendous knowledge of that. To be able to him to come back to refresh those, plus, again, going back, again, like you said, with the offense that he brought in, and, you know, his mind was so good, and it trusted him as a play caller and got us in good situations. And so, you know, that, like I said, that relationship, his offensive mind. And then when Mike came in, you know, it was still the basis of the West Coast offense. And so I was familiar with because of Jim when Mike came in. So, as I said, that kind of reinvigorated the second half of my career. And, you know, that was the best time of my career.
Did he have at that point when he came in, what kind of impact did he have on Gary Kubiak? And then your conversations, because in your daily dealings with Gary Kubiak, because you guys were so close, and his football future, did a lot of that come out of those times?
Yeah, it really does, because I think, you know, when Dan was here, we weren't West Coast. It was, you know, an offense that had come from the Cowboys that had been around and had was successful for a long time. And then I think even with Gary, I mean, because the basis of what Gary ended up doing in his coaching career was based off the West Coast offense, and it started here with Jim. And so, you know, I think that was a tremendous help for Gary and the relationship I had with Gary. So, you know, I think as I go back and say and think about, you know, the most important thing, I got excited about playing football again because of the opportunity that he provided. And that's what great coaches do. It is, you know, if your players are excited about what you're doing and you have that confidence in that coach and being able to get them in the right position, and that's where, you know, Jim was so good. And like I said, just the relationship and the trust that I had in Jim, you know, was more than anything. You know, he was like a second father to me. I mean, my dad obviously was a football coach, but really grew up with Jim daily because of him being at Stanford, and then, you know, the base and the relationship that I created with him at Stanford. And then when he came back here to Denver and was our offensive coordinator for those 2 years is, you know, something, as I said, reinvigorated me and really, you know, got me going for that second half. And, you know,
we've never had this conversation, John, but I knew your father, Jack, for about 2 years. When he was here, he was working as a coach here. He was filming tendencies and lots of different things. Whenever I'd go to practice, he'd come over and talk to me, and I knew him as Jack. And we'd talk. He used to listen to the show. And someone asked me, he said, "Oh, you know John's dad?" I said, "No." He said, "We were just talking to him." I said, "That's Jack Elway." I knew your dad for 2 years before I knew he was your dad.
Yeah, that's the kind of guy he was, too. And, you know, those two were two peas in the pod with my dad as well as Jim. And I think, you know, my dad had so much confidence in Jim, too, because, you know, when I went to Stanford and the relationship that, Jim built with my dad through the recruiting process, you know, and my dad had so much confidence in it, too. And so they were really two peas in the pod. And I think, you know, my dad was thrilled that Jim was my coach just because of the fact of what he knew, the technique, and how well he knew the quarterback position. I think when you look back in the day, Jim was way ahead of his time when it came down to quarterback play, especially when it came down to the drops and techniques of throwing and feet and getting your feet in the right position. And so the knowledge of the quarterback position that Jim had, you know, at that time was as good as anybody in the NFL.
Yeah, Jim used to tell me, he would talk to you about, you don't have to go every single play for a touchdown. Every now and then, you just have to not try to make something happen every play and protect the football. He was a big believer in the plus minus, and turnovers were the devil.
Yeah, they really were. And I think, you know, in the offense that he brought, you know, it was a progression offense, and so, you know, there was always some place to go with the ball. And obviously, I think that, you know, that's where, you know, as a player, and especially when I was at Stanford, is, you know, like you just said, is to be able to go through those progressions, and when the play's there, make the play. When it's not there, to check it down. And because obviously my mentality was always to try to get it downfield and try to make the play. And so I think that his, you know, his patience with me and the idea of what, you know, the thought process of playing the quarterback position, and like you said, it wasn't always about making the play every single down, but giving you, you know, taking what the defense gives you.
Yeah, live to fight another down. Go ahead, Mark.
You know, if we'd have just known then what we know now, right, John?
Oh, I know. We thought we knew everything then. Now, the older we get, the more we realize how much we didn't know then.
It's so true, though. It's so true. Like, I do a lot of coaching clinics with O-line guys, and I'll have a guy come in from out of state, and I'll start listening to him. And I mean, I'm curious, George the Monkey, because there's so many different ways to say something, and there's so many different ways to coach something, and there's so many different ways to communicate it. I think that's what, you know, it sounds like you took away, you know, with Fossil, having an opportunity to work with him twice, right? And it's kind of interesting when you look back at the coaches you played for. I think you took a little bit from each of those coaches, you know, and it kind of built you and built your system and built your, you know, level of maturity and our levels of communication and getting better as a player. And you obviously took it to the highest level and limits. But it's kind of melancholy a little bit to, you know, think back through those different coaches and guys like Jim Fossil.
Well, you know, it really is. And I think that, you know, this is kind of so unexpected. And, you know, it wasn't too long ago that I had talked to him and things were going good. He was excited about where he was in his life. And so, you know, that with this whole thing that we've been through this last year, when, you know, this is one that you look at and you say it hits really, you know, I know it's hit a lot of people close to home. And, you know, this is one that's hit real close home to me because of what Jim's made, you know, what Jim's meant to me over the years.
What was it that convinced you of with Jim Fossil in your living room saying, you know, you're in the bedroom of Southern California football. USC is right up the street from where you were at. And he talked you into going to Stanford, which is a great institution. Was it the institution and what they were doing with, why did you decide to go with Fossil in Stanford?
Well, I think that obviously there was a lot of factors that were involved, but one of the biggest factors was Jim, just because of the relationship that I created with him through the recruiting process. And I think that's what's so important. Obviously, as you said, Stanford's a tremendous institution, and the education is, you know, unbelievable. But also, I think one of the big things for me too also was the fact of the type of offense that we're going to run. I think that SC, you know, obviously SC was right down the road from me, and they had great team. John Robinson was the head coach, and they were competing for national championships year in, year out. But I think, you know, they ran the football a lot. But I think, the main thing was the relationship and the offense that we were going to run. Bill Walsh had just left and gone to the Niners, and so we were going to continue that same offense. But, you know, ultimately it came down to the relationship I had with Jim. And, you know, because of the fact I knew that he was going to be there and coach me. And, you know, coming out of high school, you think you know a lot too, but I think that there's so much I learned about the basics of football and the offensive game. And really the big part, as I go back and say, was the technique of playing the quarterback position and my drops and you get my feet in the right position to be accurate and you know, adjusting to different situations. And so, you know, not only the technique, but playing the game of football, which is so important. It's like any game that you play, you got to learn how to play it. And I think that he was tremendous in the tremendous understanding of what the game was about, especially offensive football and especially the quarterback position because of, as I said earlier, you know, he was so far ahead when it came down to coaching football and coaching the quarterback position and his mindset. So, you know, just a tremendous mind when it came to the offensive football.
John, thanks so much for coming on and honoring our friend. I'm not sure you knew that he was coming on my show literally every week for almost a decade. And we have become close friends. And this morning was really hard for me. I'm sure.
Yeah, I understand that. You know, again, you know, when you said that, I mean, it shows the type of loyalty that loyal guy that he was to people that he liked is a guy that, you know, has been a tremendous person, has helped a lot of people, a lot of players in this football in this year. And, you know, it's funny, I was just thinking about it, and I never got a chance to tease him about it, but he's the one that they beat us when we were 13-0 my last year against the Giants. And so he kind of got back at us, but that, you know, that shows you what time, because we had a good football team, and shows you what kind of coach he was as a head coach with the Giants.
Yeah, and in 2001, he was NFL Coach of the Year. Brought his team to the Super Bowl.
Yep, no doubt. So that shows what, you know, the offensive, you know, mind that he had as a coach, and it meant so much to him. And, you know, the commitment that he made to the game was tremendous, and he'll be sorely, sorely missed.
John, I will text you the information for John Fossil after I get off the air.
I appreciate that. Thank you, Gil.
John Elway. Been a guest on my show many times over the years, not for a while, but maybe we'll cure that. Anyway, let's do this. Let's take a quick break. We kind of cut Wade Phillips out of this package, but we'll have to deal with that. I love Wade.
I do
too. We'll be back after this.
Thanks,
John.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.